evening and welcome to the special edition of We the People, coming to you tonight from Ahmedabad. Through this week, we have kept our eye on the Gujarat election, an election many believe will have a serious consequence one way or the other on national politics. On We the People today, we look at some of the questions thrown up for India by these elections. Is Narendra Modi headed now for Delhi, shifting his focus from Ahmedabad to Delhi and playing on the national stage? What about the Congress campaign? It's been distinctly different from 2007. Also, another fundamental question, with the BJP giving no tickets to Muslim candidates and the Congress not talking about them either, is there a shrinking political space for Gujarati Muslims? Before we start taking questions from our audience today, a wide and varied cross-section of voices from the city, let's introduce our panel tonight. We have Deepak Babaria, leader of the Congress Party. We have Asifa Khan. She's a BJP leader joining us tonight. We are joined by Zafar Sareshwala, one of the prominent industrialists of Gujarat and an old and well-known family of Ahmedabad. We are joined also by Abida Desai. She's a social activist and in fact works with the Ahmedabad Women Association for Muslim Women. And she works with that as an activist. We're joined now by Suketu Mehta. We know him as the author of Maximum City and other writings. He's an American citizen but of Gujarati origin. And next to him is another overseas Gujarati, a British citizen, but somebody who has been involved in the efforts that did bear fruit of getting the United Kingdom to end its boycott of Narendra Modi, Manoj Ladva, who's the chief executive and partner with MLS Chase. And finally, we have one of Ahmedabad's best known and best respected authors and artists, Esther David. And I would like to start with you, Asifa Khan, because there will be a lot of focus on you being a Muslim voice of the BJP, till recently the spokesperson, by the way, of the Gujarat Congress Party, this has to be said. And now, batting for a party that is certainly, many people believe, headed for a victory, but your own community must have lots of questions of you because your party hasn't given them any tickets.
Well, let me tell you that I had been a journalist for more than 17 years into print and electronic media, and that actually gave me a profile of being a liberal Muslim. 2008, I was being handpicked by a top-notch Congress leader from my hometown district and was given the responsibility to work as a spokesperson for Gujarat Pradesh and also look into the media convener for All India Mahila Congress.
Okay.
This was the time when I came to know the Congress at close quarters. And when I came to know the party, I studied it into different angles. And I found that literally Muslims were being used by the Congress. We were just token members into that. We were kept at arm's length distance. And I also saw that in Gujarat, we were almost dysfunctional. There was no leadership. We had to rush to Delhi with all our files. On the contrary, when I saw the BJP party functioning under the leadership of Mr. Narendra Modi, a foot soldier from the BJP was doing much better than we could.
So you're saying you felt used as a community by the Congress.
Yes, I was used by the Congress in the meaning that I was used as a fill in the gap. You need a Muslim face, so you pick up someone and put it there.
But you don't feel that you've now become that for the BJP, that you're now BJP's token Muslim face.
I quit the job and I came down to Mr. Modi when I met him. And I talked with him in person. I saw this man is the perfect person to lead. So as a Muslim, I appreciate the way he runs the state. He has taken the growth story, including the Muslims of Gujarat. Today, we are 200 members elected in the BJP-run government through the local panchayati elections.
Okay, you've said a lot of different things which we'll explore as the program goes on. But Deepak Babaria, I want to ask you about the Congress campaign. Now, the Congress campaign, and this has been pointed out again and again, the Congress posters are quite interesting this time because they do not have any pictures of your national leadership. They don't have Rahul Gandhi, Manmohan Singh, Sonia Gandhi. You're not talking about Muslims. You're not talking about 2002. You're not saying Maut Ka Saudagar. Why is the Congress playing it so safe? Has Narendra Modi scared you off?
Well, I think it's a perception, Barkha, but Congress has been, say, canvassing on some of the issues which are very pertinent as on today's situation.
On local issues.
Something which was there on 2002, yeah. Well, all the time you cannot harp on the same issue. If I talk of the Garibi Hatao 1971 slogan or talk about the Indira Gandhi's achievement, it is irrelevant. So here, say, in the 2012 situation, after 10 years of the Modi's rule, he has created a smokescreen of the development, but the reality at the grassroots is something different. each section of the society, including Muslims. Well, my friend may say something. She was our colleague till last day, and today she has joined the bandwagon of Narendra Modi in search of
for
a career. In search of a career.
It is for Vikas that I switched over.
Okay, let him complete.
Yeah, something what is important is that all sections in this state, they are neglected. In the matter of, say, growth rate also, he has created a hype that the Gujarat is the highest growing state, but the reality is something different. Even in the days of the Congress party, it was somewhere around 40% in 1989, which has slipped down to 9%.
Okay.
So we decided that let us expose the man who has been making all these false claims.
So you have made your issue that of development and of economics. And I think you have perhaps accurately worked out that in this political environment of Gujarat, when you do raise issues of civil rights or minority rights, in the past it has only helped Narendra Modi. So you have altered your strategy. Manoj Ladwa, let me take this to you. First, you worked to get the United Kingdom to end its boycott of Narendra Modi. The fact of the matter is that you still have to deal with global perception that there is a problem here. So Ketu, sitting next to you, is from the United States of America. America so far has not budged on the issue. Is this a sign to people like yourselves that there is an image problem? What has Narendra Modi done this time to change his image from 2007 and 2002?
Well, I think, Barkha, the central point here is that you've had 10 years of development. There may be disputes in terms of the nature of that development. What the most important aspect is that if you have issues with people, you've got to engage. And the disappointing thing for me over the last few days being in Gujarat is that I've come all the way from London, Suketu has come all the way from the US, but the Congress party, the principal party, hasn't even turned up in Gujarat. And that, for me, is...
In what sense? You've had Rahul Gandhi here, invoking Mahatma Gandhi.
No, in the sense that they just simply have not been able to articulate what their position is.
He just did.
No,
he said he's fighting Narendra Modi's campaign on questioning the growth story.
The fact of the matter is that Gujarat has progressed, whether it's Ratan Tata or Sunil Bharti Mittal, the industrialists, or whether it's the British government. They've recognized that the state has progressed, and you've got to give credit to the leadership of the state.
There are parallels drawn, for example, between India and China, and that China progresses economically much more efficiently than India, but it doesn't have democracy. I'm just building a model here. Some people look at Gujarat and say the industrialists love it, but on the social development or the human development index, it doesn't do that well, and that's what a democracy is about. That's their argument.
Well, the fact of the matter is, year in, year out, the BJP fights an election, Gujarat goes to elections at different points, and each time the people speak. It's a democracy. It's a vibrant democracy, and at each time, the people on the ground are voting.
Okay.
And Narendra Modi has been successful each and every time.
Okay. So, Ketu, you return to a Gujarat which you remember being a Gujarat that may have had its differences between religious communities, but also had many interlinkages. I know from reporting here that we forget that it was Muslim craftsmen who make bindis and bangles for Hindu women. It's Muslim craftsmen who make the kites that are flown during the Makar Sankranti festivals. These linkages seem to have collapsed as social ghettos develop across the city, as Hindu localities and Muslim neighborhoods develop across the cities. What do you make of what you've seen here?
Well, it saddens me. I mean, I would come to Gujarat, growing up in Bombay, I'd come to Ahmedabad and Surat, and yes, there were regular riots, so the rioting is nothing new. But the incredible ghettoization of the city is really startling. I was wandering around in the new Ahmedabad, west of the river. The division now in Ahmedabad is in Old City, New City. It's East Ahmedabad, West Ahmedabad. And in the west, there were these giant malls, lots of people in flashy cars. And I asked around where the Muslims were. There, most buildings will not have a single Muslim resident. The Muslims are segregated in their own housing colonies. It's the same in the Old City. I was actually walking around in the ports in the Old City, and I was told that this was the border between the Muslim area and the Hindu area, and that way are the Muslims and this way are the Hindus. So after the riots, what's happened is that these communities, perhaps for reasons of security, perhaps because they're actively discriminated against in housing, have gone off in separate areas of the city. And that's a very troubling augury, a very troubling omen for Gujarat in the long term, because even Narendra Modi likes to say, we are all Gujaratis, 6 crore Gujaratis. But I think some are more privileged than others.
What do you make quickly of the political campaign you've observed in the 48 hours or 72 hours that you've spent here?
Well, I find it really startling that the BJP can't find a single Muslim candidate to field. in this election, that if Narendra Modi feel serious about healing, then you know there should have been at least one, even as a sign that the BJP is inclusive. Because without political representation, there is no economic power, there's no socio-economic power. We also walked around Juhapura, this Muslim neighborhood, which is one of the worst slums I've ever seen in my life. It seems like it's been completely left behind by the government.
That's wrong.
Quick rebuttal and then Zafar Sarish.
That's wrong. I have been to Juhapura myself. I have seen that there are 6 town planning schemes which has come to
Juhapura. Juhapura got its town plan in 2009.
I have also seen that there is a Hindu ghetto between SG Road and CG Road. Name is Hollywood, right? And these are Hindu ghettos. So it is not that only Juhapura is left behind.
No, we are not saying that. We are saying that there is a religious division and the geography of the city has become
religious. This
division
took place in 1987 when there were Congress-run governments in Gujarat and they passed an act which said Disturbed Area Act. And according to that act, we were not allowed, the Hindus were not allowed to buy property into Muslim areas and Muslims were not allowed to buy properties into Hindu areas. So it is not by Narendra Modi.
Yeah,
Angela
I would like
is in
to
the
correct
Congress.
Yeah. Sifa, I would like
so
to correct
I
you.
Think,
let something
him
you are
Asifa,
talking
let him
something
speak.
Far from the reality.
Still
in Juhapura,
in let him
you please permit
that,
me.
Yeah.
In Juhapura, as on today, but only for the education, there is only one small...
That's wrong.
You are wrong.
That's wrong.
No.
That's wrong.
You please listen to me.
I have
13
schools.
No, there are 13 schools.
No, my family
I tell you. I have
don't.
You were not there.
No, he's
wrong.
Excuse me. One minute.
It is...
Ma'am, 1 minute. Go ahead.
I say that in Juhapura, even as on today, there is only one municipal school that is which is offering the free or very concessional fees. The citizens of the Juhapura had to move the high court, and in the month of the March, high court when ordered that you provide all amenities, they started doing some.
Okay, Zafar Sareshwala, I want to come back to our larger subject of what we're looking at. What are the questions nationally thrown up by this election? Now, you are somebody, as a Muslim industrialist, you suffered in 2002. You have said that you lost everything. You wanted to take Mr. Modi to the International Court of Justice. Today, 10 years later, you say you want to engage with Mr. Modi. What made you change your mind?
See, this is a very basic fundamental issue.
Yeah.
All over the world. You take example of Palestinians and Jews. In 2003, when the Intifada was at its peak, the Palestinians were going to sign with Sharon and Peres and with Bush. So you can't wish away that I'll not talk to X and I'll not talk to Z.
Okay.
This is basic, fundamental. If you are living in a democracy, you need to engage with the government of the day.
You have said that you have said to me that I do not want to wear my pain as an ornament.
Yes, absolutely.
What does that mean? Has the pain gone away?
See, I don't want to make this pain because a lot of people want to live by people's miseries. Now, coming back to Mr. Suketu's question, he doesn't know Ahmedabad. Ahmedabad was always ghettoized. Even when Mahatma Gandhi was alive in Ahmedabad, no Muslim could ever buy 1 square inch of land in Nawrangpura. Regarding to Juhapura, Juhapura has been in existence since 1973. What was the Congress government? Because I would not have invoked Congress. Let me listen to me first. This Juhapura has been in such existence for at least 30 years. And there are new localities which have come up in western Ahmedabad. There are huge residential localities in Paldi where at least 1,000 Muslim families live.
So when you engage with Mr. Modi, what was your experience?
The engagement, the first time when we met with Mr. Modi, he was very positive and very responsive. And unfortunately, we tried to engage with our issues with the higher-ups in Delhi. Forget about engagement. They would give us time. A particular time, we would travel all the way to Delhi and they would make us sit there for 3 days. At least Mr. Modi, he has never allowed us to wait for even a minute.
Okay.
So that engagement has been very positive.
Abhinav, what we are seeing within the Muslim community of Gujarat, and in fact in a debate across India, is something to watch out for. You have Syed Shahabuddin, who is a prominent Indian Muslim voice, write a letter to Narendra Modi. He says, the Gujarat's Muslims have seen a change in your attitude, but, and then he says, if you do the following 9 things, we could even consider rebuilding our futures together. One of the things he wants is a public apology for 2002. You suffered in the riots as well, ma'am.
Yes.
You suffered in the riots, you work with Muslim women, you have members of your community sitting next to you saying it's time to engage with Mr. Modi. How long are we going to live in the past? What would you say?
I want to ask one question to Asifa ma'am and Sareshwala, that 2002, after 2002 riots, it's 10 years. Still, Johapura does not have this Gujarat State Transport Corporation.
Yeah. So, in the larger picture, are you seeing a greater willingness in your community to now be ready to engage with Narendra Modi? Because I have met many Muslim voters who actually feel disenchanted by both parties. They're starting to feel our vote just doesn't count.
As far as I feel that it's everything is like superficial. Everything, everybody is engaging in for their own personal interest. For their own personal interest. I don't see the downtrodden Muslims want to
engage
with Modi.
Regarding the engagement, in one of our meetings, in fact, 60 to 65 different Muslim groups have met Modi. And recently a group of Johapura, they met Modi and they put this exactly about the Gujarat state road transport system. They put lot of issues in front of Modi, and Modi said this, that if 100 roads are built in Ahmedabad, 10 should be built in Muslim areas. He said, I'm sorry for it. So about my engagement, what I say is, whatever is there, we just go and put it
across. So you're saying we have to
Why didn't strike
May I request you all to not speak together? May I, Esther, you'll be listening patiently. Here's the question. The narrative around Gujarat is an extremely polarized one, and this polarization isn't taking the conversation forward anymore. There is one narrative that treats Modi like a political pariah and says, oh my God, anybody who appreciates anything about him is somehow communal. There is another narrative that says that he is the best thing that has happened to Indian economics, he is the best thing that has happened to Indian politics, and anybody who brings Muslim into the equation is a pseudo-secular. There is a problem with both of these narratives, because this doesn't take the conversation forward. How does a Gujarati today take the conversation forward?
While I was coming here, there was something very interesting that I was thinking, that the venue of this this talk today is absolutely on the border. It's between Johapura and Vasna, Gupta Nagar. While everybody was talking, I was thinking of one particular problem that has arisen, that about ghettoization. And I just want to correct the historical point of this. The old Ahmedabad, that is East Ahmedabad that Sukitu was talking about, that's the old city. For me, the real Ahmedabad, the walled city, has always had Muslim mullahs and Hindu poles, and all had gates and but these gates were never closed, and everybody used to live in harmony. After 2002, before that Johapura was already there, but let me remind you one thing, it was for all communities. It was after the flooding of the river. Eventually in 2002 it became like a place where everybody wanted to stay and feel safe, which was true.
Do you believe that it is necessary now for the media, for the politicians, for the voters to get out of the 2002 narrative, not to forget 2002, but that this conversation needs to go forward, because otherwise it's a very polarizing, very divisive way of looking at politics.
Yes. What is happening in the last few years?
Yeah.
There is a lot of change in Ahmedabad. The whole tone of the city has shifted on the west. There is a sort of development issues are being taken care of, that the east is becoming like a tourist heritage awareness place, and I think it's a little stressing, but in a way there has been a lot of industry coming into Gujarat, which we cannot deny, which is helping a lot of people, and I don't want to deny that. So,
which is precisely my point.
Go ahead.
What I say every time I come to Ahmedabad, I see progress, I see change, and it's the narrative has to change. It has to change from Hindu versus Muslim to Indian. The whole world is watching us today. And that, if we can change the narrative and the debate away from Hindu, Muslim, why just Hindu, Muslims, Christians, Jews?
My question is this, Manoj. Isn't it incumbent on all sides to change this narrative?
Absolutely.
Whereas the expectation sometimes from politicians is that the narrative should just change because people are tired, because something happened a long time back and now why talk about the same thing?
The narrative, why just for Gujarat? Why just for Ahmedabad?
Anywhere.
For the whole of India, it needs
anywhere
to change. And the narrative needs to change to development.
Okay, so Ketu, this development mantra, it's actually interesting, because if the Congress has shifted its campaign from 2007 to now, I find a shift even in Narendra Modi's campaign. You are not seeing Italian Bahu versus Motka Saudagar. This is not the rhetoric of this election. Both are trying to position their conversation around economic development.
Which is where I think the conversation should be. I'm glad that this campaign isn't as inflammatory as the previous campaigns. But let's take a look at the development statistics, and I've got some. So the growth rate of Gujarat is 10%. The Indian growth rate is 8.28%, right? This is 2011. So it's number 8 in terms of Indian states, which is great, but there's 7 other states which have a higher growth rate than Gujarat, including Tamil Nadu and Maharashtra. Why don't we talk about the Maharashtra miracle? In terms of economic indicators, like the percentage of people below the poverty line, Gujarat ranks 18th in the country, and this is from 2010. The sex ratio of females per 1,000 males, the Gujarat ranks 20th, and on and on. So there has been development, and it's been great for the larger industries that have come into the state. For small and medium-sized enterprises, not so much. And certainly for the vast mass of people in the rural areas, Gujarat is kind of dead in the middle. So the fruits of development haven't been spread equally. Ahmedabad looks great. The roads are great. The bus rapid systems, this is all great. It should be acknowledged. But this is not the miracle that the public relations campaigns of Modi expect us to believe.
Okay, the ratio between the male and the female has come down from 60 to 39. So I think you have the wrong figures. Again, about industrial growth, we are the largest. Manufacturing, zero defect manufacturing is done in Gujarat, right? We are also number one in packaging. That means our small and medium enterprise industries are flourishing and more people are getting jobs into that.
What about malnutrition figures?
Yeah, figures. Malnutrition.
Right. Before, then the planning commission is wrong.
Let him speak.
So that it will become a truth.
Okay, Asifa, you made your point.
There are two theories. When Narendra Modi says this, and BJP people, they say that look at it is like India shining. And the stark reality is something different. The second thing which they are trying to correct to put Narendra Modi on the as a prime ministerial candidate, they are trying to improve his image as trying to project him as a secular. For Congress, it was never a problem in this country. Congress has always stick to its basic commitment with the certain values like say, secularism. If Congress
It should not happen now.
It means in Assam, you are doing it on purpose. Our PM is a Rajya Sabha member from Assam. Please. And see the situation in Assam.
Madam, we are talking about Gujarat. Let us not talk about Assam. We are talking about the Gujarat election.
About the secularism.
I may be permitted something very small.
Asifa, you have to keep quiet now because I have to take questions. Let's first raise your hand if you support Narendra Modi. And we have many hands going up. It's a sliver of reality. We're in Ahmedabad. He has huge urban support. And we are going to take some questions here.
Well, I've born and brought up in Ahmedabad. So the biggest thing I appreciate about Narendra Modi's leadership is that we are very safe here.
Great.
We girls are very, very safe here. And
great.
And what more do we want? Our hometown is safe. We are given freedom for everything. I run a school myself. I have Muslim, Sikh, Isai. Everybody coming to my school and everybody is equal.
But there might be people here who may say that in 2002, they did not feel safe. What would you say?
I was also young, like 10 years down the line. When I went out of my house, my parents and all said that, of course, you should not go. It's not safe. You know, they would do anything for us or we would do. So it was not only Muslims who were not safe. Hindus were not safe as well. Yeah. So it was both ways because it was the whole situation that time which was like that.
So you want to agree with it? Yeah. Okay.
I used to live on the east side. And growing up, I was so scared to live there. I still get scary dreams. And all those years, Congress is who ruled in the city. And we are absolutely not safe. Absolutely not safe.
Okay, so
just change after 2002.
1 minute. Now, Suketu, I want to take this back to you. You have been meeting a lot of Gujarati women. And you've said that, you know, you found a greater confidence in them. And yet you are saddened by what what you've seen. How do you reconcile what's happening here?
So, and what I was most impressed by was the tremendous confidence of young women in this state, particularly young women in the middle and upper middle classes. And there is this, you know, these are women who are going to grow up and, well, they're already grown up, but they'll go out and conquer the world. So there's, you know, the thing about Gujarat is it's not easily categorizable as one or the other.
Yeah.
You've got to look at all sides of the equation. Now, this miracle that's happened in terms of development and the real progress of the state hasn't been spread equally, and that's also demonstrable. Now, she mentioned that she feels unsafe, and during the riots she felt unsafe. This is true. My own family, who are Hindus, who live in Maninagar, felt very unsafe during the riots and have through many riots. But Muslims bore the brunt of the massacres in 2002. This is of the 1,000 or 2,000 people that died, most of them were Muslims. People saw their families being burnt to death in front of their eyes. And the perpetrators of these crimes have still not, all of them have still not been punished. And at the very least, Modi should be held accountable because he was ruling over the state at the time and did nothing to stop it.
Manoj, do you want to take that?
Well, look, this is an old record playing time and time again. Gujarat has moved on precisely because of the fact, yes, Muslims are feeling unsafe, Hindus were feeling unsafe, but the audience here is saying that things have moved on. Let's stop the record of the past. We live in the world of now Twitter and iPhone. Forget what's happened in the past. Let's look to the future.
Well, as my friend Manoj, I'd like to respond to, you know, I went walking around the old city yesterday, and there were a bunch of people who were talking about why Gujarat has been safe. And it's also true, there haven't been riots in the last 10 years. And one of them said, when you put the people who caused the riots in office, when you give them the chairs, of course there won't be a riot, as Abhita pointed out. Let's see what happens if the BJP loses power.
Let's take a question. I work, we have an NGO, we do some stuff. When we do any work with the corporation, with the municipal corporation or anything, I've often heard that things move under Narendra Modi to the lowest level. They're motivated, they're mobilized, and things happen. And I think actionable good is very important. People are motivated, people believe they have to do something, and that is fairly rare.
Esther, one of the things you hear about Narendra Modi, which we haven't spoken about, is that there is no allegation of corruption that has stuck. Do you see that? Do you see that as you see the industries and you say that's part of it? And what do you say to those who say move on?
Well, I this move on thing, belonging to a Jewish minority, I believe that if you forget, it happens again. So I don't believe in that of moving on. You can move on in various ways, like the industry and the way the quality of life is changing, as everybody feels. But there is a certain, the way in the matter of progress of the cities, I feel absolutely chaotic city planning. Everything is going crazy. And I don't really appreciate that.
But Abhita, to the larger point, that people are saying, how long will you talk about 2002? How long will you talk about it? How long will be the campaign issue? It's not even the Congress's campaign issue anymore. As somebody who suffered at that time, you worked with Muslim women, what would you say?
See, I'm also a victim of riot, 2002 riots. I have moved on, as people say, as Manoj sir says. I have also moved on. But that scar is there. I will forgive also everything, but I will not trust. Because as soon as something happens, I call my husband and I say, you just close the shop and come back. Because anything might happen.
So you'll forgive, but you won't forget.
Yeah, I cannot forget. I want to forget, I cannot forget. And I cannot trust. So the trust is missing.
One minute. Did you want to say something?
Anything can happen. But it's not happening since last 10 years. You are looking at that.
It's not happening because the party is in the ruling thing.
I told that.
Senna bhai ko bol dar ka hai ka.
आप कह रहे हैं कि आपको अभी भी एक सार एक एक दर्द है एक दर्द है जफर
हर 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 पूरी कम्युनिटी में जब जब यहां देखो वहां सबको डर है
भले कहते हैं दर्द बोला डर नहीं दर्द पेन
भी है और उससे डर भी है तो वो डर नहीं जाता है
जफर सरेश्वर
I mean, see, I've gone through all that. I've received 1,100 hate mails. So, I know. I mean, and the easiest thing, you know, it's everybody becomes George Bush. Either you are with us or with them. The moment you have a different view of thinking,
then you are sellout. So I've seen and I've been seeing this for the past 10 years. But Barkha, having said that, when I say moving on means every day, day in and day out, we move on. And particularly about the scars of the riot, the perpetrators of the crime are being booked. Almost 80% of the cases have come to the closure. See, Muslims have a lot of issues. We have issues of education, health, business. We have issues of so many things. I mean, these are the issues which we are going to face.
Okay.
And
so
we need to take care of that.
So, by moving, simply mean the process of engagement and the process of living has to begin anew. Asifa, to you first. We saw Irfan Pathan on stage with Narendra Modi. BJP says that we don't look at people as Hindu and Muslim.
That's
yet
right.
It seemed to need that photo opportunity. I mean,
no. Why should
what was that
Irfan,
photo opportunity
Irfan was
about?
Already there when Sadbhavna was there. He was on the stage. So this is not the first time that he's come to Mr. Narendra Modi. And why make an issue?
He's one of the best critics.
You know, why make an issue about it?
He's on the stage. Why look at him as a Muslim?
Why make an issue?
Who wants to speak about Irfan Pathan sharing the stage? You've already spoken. Somebody who hasn't spoken. Yes.
So why are you looking at a Muslim? He's a citizen.
He's a citizen.
So he's a citizen, he has all right to be on the
So once again, I'm trying to ask a question. So you don't think that it had anything to do with political symbolism or searching, looking for a more secular image?
No, I don't think so.
Anyone who does think so? Anyone who has a differing view on the...
Yeah, it's absolutely political maneuverism. I mean, to be a Muslim in Gujarat, I mean, I've been doing research on Joapura. I was a witness to the riots. You can't get an apartment here as a Muslim. I tried. I was unable to. I live in Joapura. There's only 6 schools for 300,000 residents in Joapura. Just a few kilometers away is Naro, where a group of riot survivors live in an area next to a trash dump. There's people say moving on. People say the violence has ended. There's a daily violence of being Muslim in Gujarat, where to be a Muslim in the city is a humiliating experience. It is to have the police harass you. When I got my apartment in Joapura, the police said, you have to be careful. Joapura is called mini Pakistan. So when people say move on, you get someone like Irfan Khan Pathan because Modi knows that when you look at the statistics for Muslims trail behind every single category. They trail behind in education, they trail behind in employment.
So what did you make of that photo? Because there's somebody here, a lot of people were very angry with me for saying, oh, that was a kind of symbolism because of his religion. Why, he's a national cricketer.
Because
and a lot of politicians, to be fair to what they're saying, do get celebrities on the stage, they get film stars, they get cricketers. So why have we made this about his religion?
It's just, I mean, it reminds me of, I live in the U.S., reminds me of when a white politician will have a black person stand next to him and say, look, I'm not racist, I have a black friend. It's the same thing. Modi is very bigoted towards Muslims, and when you get a Muslim like Irfan Pathan standing next to him, it helps improve his image. But
okay.
When people say the word like progress, like Manoj, come to my street in Joapura. Mm. Come to my society. Come talk to the people. Come to Siddiqabad, a riot-affected colony. And you ask them about progress, they'll laugh at you for using the word progress.
I'm not denying the fact.
Somebody who disagrees with me.
No. I'm not denying the fact that, yes, there are issues that need to be resolved. But why focus just on Ahmedabad, just on Gujarat? These issues percolate throughout India.
Yes,
these issues remain throughout India across communities. And that's the narrative that needs to change, because if you carry on ghettoizing people and the language that I'm afraid people like you use actually exacerbates the situation rather than starts to improve it.
Okay, Deepak, my question for you is this. What is the Congress's central message in this campaign? Is it that you're questioning Narendra Modi on development, or are you questioning him on ideology? Because this is not clear to people.
We are questioning Narendra Modi on his credibility in all aspects. It could be a development or it could be secularism.
Okay.
We are questioning his credibility.
Okay, there's a question here for Asifa Khan.
Do you think Keshubhai Patel will be a spoiled sport for BJP?
We don't think so.
Okay.
Because Narendra Modi ji has already worked very hard. He's not doing it only for during elections. 365 days is with the people. So nothing at all is going to impact him. Only development. Savno Saad, Savno Vikas, which is going to win.
Can I ask Manoj a question? We are seeing in some seats, and I have seen this, for example, in Ellisbridge, which is Harin Pandya's widow is contesting there, that Vishwa Hindu Parishad foot soldiers are actually helping her. There are other seats where Keshubhai Patel, close to the RSS, has actually withdrawn his candidate against Shweta Bhatt, for example. So we're seeing these very interesting wheels within wheels. Is it that Narendra Modi makes these some sections of the Sangh Parivar uncomfortable?
Can I be very honest with
yes,
you?
Yes, please do.
I don't know the answer.
Does anyone else want to take
I would just like to say that this is democracy.
and we are open to our views. We can actually support someone or not support someone. So let's keep it till that.
Deepak, there have been talks of a covert alliance between Keshubhai, the VHP and the Congress, which makes absolutely no ideological sense, by the way.
But say, I think one thing which is common perhaps with the Congress and the Keshubhai is that both of them hate Narendra Modi with a view that he is the person who has destroyed Gujarat.
Well, that's the point. It's the language of hate. That is the narrative that needs to change.
If you love the people so much, why are you out of power? Maybe I may have used the wrong words.
Ask for now, Deepak, I'll allow you a rebuttal there. Go ahead.
Say something, maybe I may have used the word hate wrongly, but say something what we say that both these parties, they feel that the Narendra Modi has done the maximum damage to Gujarat, its secular fabric, it's a confidence of each community with each other. He has divided Gujarat. He has also betrayed the common man of Gujarat.
So these are the political wheels within wheels. We'll take a quick break. In the last segment, what impact will Gujarat have on the national stage? Coming back after the break. Can I get Welcome back. You're watching We the People, coming to you from Ahmedabad. We're in the middle of a very heated debate. That's what happens every time you talk about Gujarat. Can there be a new narrative for Gujarat that doesn't get trapped in exactly the same model of argument? Before we take that back to the panel, let's take some questions from the audience. Sir.
I would like to come back to this Irfan Pathan issue. Was Irfan Pathan brought on the dais at gunpoint? Is he a kid? He is very much living in Gujarat, very much in Vadodara city where riots took place. He doesn't know anything.
So what did that photo op mean to you?
Yeah, no, he came on his own. Nobody forced him to come. True. So he showed that there is a lot of change in Gujarat.
Okay, you want to say something?
Yeah. As a normal voter, I have to choose between three persons, Keshubhai, Shankar Sevagera and Modi. So I have seen that both the previous persons has not performed well and Modi is a good administrator. So I would definitely go for him because I have seen other people. I have no choice. He's a good administrator. So I have to go for him.
So you're saying actually it's not about all these ideological questions for you. It's actually about who is an administrator. I do want to take that back to Deepak in just a second. But your question. Yes.
Actually, we Indians paying the tax so that we can be secured by the government. And let me bring the issue of Gujarat communal riots that is done in 2002. And world has proved that Narendra Modi was failed to protect us. Then how... Brother Manoj is saying let's forget and let progress. Let me tell you that might be you didn't lost anything in 2002, but the people who lost it, they will never forget that.
Number one, I think when any incident
happens, whether it's in Gujarat, whether it's in Assam, whether it's to some Indian in London, as Indians we all feel the pain. Feel, yeah. But we have to move on. That's the simple message.
Okay, can I
even
ask
the UK government is
Asifa, he's speaking right now. Yeah. I want you to define move on. I want you to define this phrase. I hear it all the time. What does this phrase mean, move on?
Move on ultimately means development, where people are able to feel secure, are able to go about their daily lives in a very normal way, whether it's in business, in education, and the lady up there has talked about kids from various backgrounds coming to her school.
Yeah.
Just normalizing the whole debate and discussion of politics in a way where, you know, people just carry on with their lives.
Okay, I'm going to take another question here. Yeah.
Going to development, which is, I think, should be the central issue here. I want to ask a few people here that we've been saying that Gujarat has not been developing or there are these figures which are not right. And we keep hearing that there are 10 lakh people who are unemployed here. There's malnutrition. Do I understand that in the rest of India, where Congress is the ruling party, there is no malnutrition, there is no one who is unemployed, and everything is going well?
Deepak, do you want to take that? Yeah.
The issues which she has been raising, I think that is pertinent, that all throughout the country, these are the major issues.
Yeah.
But here in Gujarat, the way that the Modi government is propagating that everything is fine, everything is good, well, there are this many kind of the job opportunities. It is something grossly wrong, the picture he is giving, and that is something what we are questioning. In his development agenda, he has neglected the basic
requirement of the
question is this, the question
that is something we are questioning.
But one minute. The question is this, that if there are social development issues here, those issues of people who live on the margins, of poverty, exist in Congress-ruled states as well.
That, I said that, no? They exist in those states also.
What's your name?
Abrar. I want to define how we Muslims moved on.
Okay.
We realize that we should have self-development. We realize that not a political party, a single political party will do some development for us. We started our schools after 2002 riots. We started our dispensaries and hospitals. We started working for our community. Not a single party has come and worked for us. And I think that is the way we should move on. Why we should cry and tell and expect others would come and join us.
So can I? You saying you don't want to be a victim anymore? You want you're disillusioned with politics, but you want to rebuild your own life.
Yes, and I want to collaborate. In fact, I am working with lots of schools, and they are run by Hindus, and I am working for lots of Muslim schools. And I tried, and I went to them and told them that please help us. You are resourceful. We are resourceless. Let's collaborate. We are brothers and sisters. What is wrong in that?
Okay. Asifa. Let's shift our focus as we keep taking questions on what the national impact will be. It's very interesting that the Congress makes this. The BJP has taunted the Congress by saying, "Aapka leader Gujarat mein kaun hai?" The Congress has taunted you all back by saying, "If you're so certain it's Narendra Modi, why don't you declare him to be the prime ministerial candidate?" So there's a problem in both houses, isn't there?
There is something which will come up in 2014, and we need to talk about that in 2014. For the moment, we are focusing on 2012.
Is he a prime ministerial candidate?
And it has to be there.
Is Mr. Number Modi a prime ministerial
number
candidate?
Number two. Why, the party will be deciding on to that. It's not a Gujarat issue or not an issue with us. The party has to decide. So that need not be a worry with the Congress. Number two, I want to say that the Muslims of Gujarat have engaged with Mr. Narendra Modi in a much easier way than they could be of access to the Congress leaders in Delhi and Gujarat. And that is why we are having...
Deepak, is there a problem with leadership? I got your point.
Mufti is meeting Mr. Modi.
I got your point. Is there a problem of leadership? It's a house divided. There is no one leader.
Something what I feel that it could be somewhere some kind of a personal issue, but otherwise the thousands of workers of the Gujarat, they approached our central leadership. And none of them is having any complaint.
Okay, I have 5 minutes left, so I'm going to just take a few questions. I have Jahangir here sitting next to me. He's an auto rickshaw driver. Now, on the one hand, you hear Abrar who says, it's time for me to build my own life. I'm tired of being a victim. Jahangir Sheikh, aap auto rickshaw scooter chalate hain Juhapura mein. Main aapse jab mili thi pichle hafte, aapne mujhe kaha ki main to mujhe koi dilchaspi nahi hai is election mein. Aisa kyun?
Development. ये सब बता रहे कि डेवलपमेंट हुआ है लेकिन आप हमारे जुहापुरा में आके देखो लास्ट 10 ईयर्स से कुछ भी नहीं हुआ है स्ट्रीट लाइट तक भी नहीं है हमारे जुहापुरा में और हमारी माँ बहने टैंकर से पानी भरती है जो पाइपलाइन घर तक आनी चाहिए पानी की सबसे ज्यादा जरूरत जिंदगी की है पानी वो पानी ही नहीं आ रहा है जुहापुरा में म्यूनसिपालिटी का भी पानी नहीं आ रहा है और ये नर्मदा की बात कर रहे हैं वो पानी भी नहीं आ रहा
है जो विकास हुआ है गुजरात में आपको लगता है आपके लोगों के पास नहीं पहुंचा
शायद तक तो मुस्लिम लोगों के पास नहीं पहुंचा है क्योंकि जुहापुरा में बहुत सी ऐसी सोसाइटी है जिसमें पानी नहीं है स्ट्रीट लाइट नहीं है
फिर भी
रोड भी नहीं बने ठीक
अच्छा एक आपसे पूछूंगी
जी
कि ये जो अलग अलग इलाके हो गए हैं हिंदू और मुसलमान के पहले तो इतना तो नहीं होता था
पहले नहीं होता था मैं 25 साल से जुहापुरा में रहता हूँ इससे पहले मैं लाल दरवाजा रहता था वहां हम हिंदू मुस्लिम मिक्स रहते थे एक मोहल्ले में लेकिन एक दंगे फसाद की वजह से सबको अलग अलग जाना पड़ा हमारे जो यार दोस्त है हिंदू है हमारे अभी भी फैमिली रिलेशन है वो लोग चले गए सेटेलाइट जोधपुर इधर उधर हम लोग आ गए जुहापुरा और अभी भी मिलते हैं हम लोग ऐसी बात नहीं है लेकिन सरकार की तरफ से जो हमको मिलना चाहिए नरेंद्र मोदी जी बहुत अच्छे है सब बोलते बहुत अच्छे है लेकिन डेवलपमेंट तो करो मुस्लिमों का डेवलपमेंट करो
Don't take it, Asifa. The point simply is, he didn't bring up 2002. Yeah. He didn't bring up ideology. He didn't bring up. He's asking you an economic question.
Okay. एक बात का जवाब आप मुझे दे दीजिए कि इससे पहले 11 साल पहले जब आप ऑटो रिक्शा चलाते थे तो आप जुहापुरा से नारोल तक अपना सफर कर सकते थे इत्मीनान से या नवरंगपुरा तक जा सकते थे आज आप लंबी सवारी लेते हैं और अच्छे से कमाते हैं आपको किसी तरह का डर नहीं है और आपकी रोजी रोटी
डेवलपमेंट जुहापुरा में नहीं हुआ है
और आप बोलने तो अपनी फैमिली के कमाई उन्हें बोलने आराम से कैसे करें। उन्हें बोलने साल पहले
आप मेरी बात भी सुनो, पानी नहीं आ रहा, पानी पीने के लिए उसकी बात है,
रिक्शा लेकर के
जाने वाला की बात है।
आप
The point is, what we're hearing here is actually constructive even for the media, because the media comes back wondering whether Gujarat's Muslims are only wanting to talk about 2002. What they're talking about is, minus political representation, how do we even raise issues of livelihood? Now, this is something to note. Yes.
I just want to ask to that person, when he says that he doesn't have the light or electricity or water, then there are many houses in Juhapura and all who have dish TVs, who have mobiles. So why, like, when you have an antenna, dish TV, and then you say that you have a problem of electricity, how is that possible?
Okay. Water is more important. There is no water. There is no
My question is more on the political propaganda. Like, why are we putting, why is the election always about putting the other person down? And then why don't we say, like, what are we going to do? I heard Rahul Gandhi's speech the other day. Yeah. He was saying that 3 din mein ek din pani aata hai, 25,000 log aane, 25 lakh log unemployed hai. Okay, we know that, but what are you trying to do about it?
Yes, something same, what
same,
I would like
same
to
thing
very
goes
much
with Modi. Why can't we have elections like we have in the US? Like, we have an open forum where Obama is sitting, Romney is sitting. You can ask questions and they can answer to you what your questions are. Why are we just putting each other down?
Okay, I have precisely 2 minutes left on this show. I'll allow you and you.
I just want to say one thing, ki why are we only talking about Hindu-Muslim? People who are poor, illiterate, who are not really charged up like the gentleman they say ki we want to do something. So why not Hindu, Muslim, all of us have a courage to do better for our life.
Okay, your question.
My question is, like, Modi is telling that he'll make Gujarat like a Malaysia, and what about the succession development when it comes to, like, when he moves to a central government, because he's planning to set
why
to
should
PM.
You anticipate
and what about the next
manner?
Vision, who will be taking off the
you're worried.
Actually,
I mean, okay.
You're
really worried.
Okay, last question here.
I'm working since around more than 7 years, and I'm really happy that both Hindus and Muslims come to my clinic and I treat them, and they readily are happy with that.
Yeah.
But yes, because Narendra Modi is coming from a very strong Hindutva background, the social acceptability to the Muslims is not good enough. Say, it may be given an example of Sadbhavna when this topi incident happened. Huh. It's your choice. It's right on your part that you don't wear. But my dear friend, at least when there are functions of Diwali as well as New Year's, big posters are been there. Hardik Shubhechhao Tamne, Nutan Varshabhinan. Why it is not that you wish on Eid also? There are the programs in Ramzan that you have the iftar party. Why don't you happen in Gujarat?
Okay, these are a lot of very fundamental questions. Esther, your final thoughts as we close.
I just wanted to say just one correction.
Yes.
That Bollywood is not a ghetto. Hollywood, which you say on Gulbai Tikka.
It's a ghetto. Okay, it's a ghetto. I've been there.
It has
please.
All the it has you all the facilities.
Even
and the second thing about auto rickshaw wallahs, I want to just make another correction that there are a majority rickshawwalas who cannot go in certain areas. So yes. Sometimes they make they change their identity, they change their name. What sort of city is that? I don't
accept it. All in the past. Okay, wait. Zafar,
see,
last
for
one.
Me, as somebody mentioned about Sadbhavna.
Yes.
And about sorry, I would say that Sadbhavna for me is that the way Hindus and Muslims used to live in this country, intertwined, interdependent to each other, that same process starts again. And the government of the day, we will measure their sadbhavna if the growth is inclusive of Muslims and minorities.
Fair enough. That Manoj, is. No I dispute think, with that?
No dispute whatsoever with that. And
okay.
I think Narendra Modi actually has moved on beyond a lot of other people on this panel. When he's been talking about 6 crore Gujaratis, he does not talk about Hindu or Muslim or that or the other.
That's
he's
true.
Changed his narrative. It's time for the rest of the country to
so
change their
last
narrative.
Last word and I end.
The 6 crore Gujaratis that my good friend talks about, from all these 6 crore Gujaratis, couldn't he find one single Muslim man to give a ticket for the legislative election? So moving on means
this
moving
is on giving a ticket to the Muslim cannot be a
political representation.
I think you have you have to make a correction moving about your knowledge means of
political
Sadbhavna.
Representation.
Only a ticket will be a yardstick to Sadbhavna.
So I have to end this program because we have ended where we began on this unresolved issue. But here's the point. I think it's quite obvious that perhaps as Gujarat changes, neither of the old narratives fits the bill. Obviously, societies evolve. Obviously, responses evolve to those. However, what happens in Gujarat isn't just about Gujarat. It's about really fundamental questions of representation, of equality, of what model of politics works, of what model of economics works. This is an election that will be watched closely. The fact that it was so volatile should tell you that actually this is a conversation that we need to have more and more, not less and less. Thank you very much to our panel and to our audience. And we'll be back soon next week. Thanks for watching.